We're going to continue our series today on the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And I've been meditating on this on and off all week, and already had some thoughts, but I asked the Lord to open my understanding a little bit further, and I think he has. And so I'm going to share that with you today, and I hope that will be a blessing. I hope this church should be the most Bible-taught church in Milwaukee. You guys got to know more than most churches around here. Amen. Amen. Because we stand upon God's word, and we believe that the more you know, amen, the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. That means know him, and then he shall direct your path. So the more you know of him, the more he's going to direct your path. Amen. And I just feel that God is revealing some things, and I wanted to share them with you. I chose as the foundational verse for this Revelation 5:5. And in Revelation 5, John is in a vision. He's caught up to heaven, and he sees before him a throne with one sitting on the throne, and he's holding in his right hand a scroll. Revelation 5:5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. John begins to weep. Behold, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Root of David. We haven't got to that part yet. We got a couple more weeks. Root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Amen. And we talked about some of the titles that God has. Of course, there's more than 150. I showed you a few last week, but we were going to focus on this, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and the Root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. I'm going to reveal a little bit more. Last week, we talked about, you've heard much teaching on the seven seals, but almost nothing that I could find on what's inside the book, or even what book. Or even what book that was. So, amen. Just for way of review, last week we covered, well, this is what we're going to cover this week. I'm afraid my bullet points are out of order. We're gonna focus on two words, worthy and prevail. Last week, we answered the question, why did John weep? Why did he weep? Because it seems as if he knew something. So he saw the one sitting on the throne with the book, but why did he weep when no one was found worthy? So we answered that question last week, but we're going to go a little bit further this week. This week we're going to focus on two things, worthy and prevailed. And then next week we're going to go a little bit into the loosing of the seals. So let's just recap. That title for Jesus comes all the way back from Genesis 49, chapter 49, when Jacob was on his deathbed. He called all of his sons, and he started to lay hands on them. You ever prayed for your children and laid hands on them? That's an awesome thing to do. Amen. And Jacob called his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. So you can tell this wasn't just for them at that time, but this was prophetic, because he goes to say in the last days. So this was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He called each of his sons and prophesied about them and their descendants and what their character of their tribe would be and how God would use them. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken or listen unto Israel, your father. And then here is the prophecy. We only focused on Judah. Verse 8, Judah was the fourth son. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Of course, that's what Judah means, praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. And then verse 9 is where we get the title that's not referenced again until all the way in Revelation. Judah is a lion's whelp, means a young lion. And in this verse, I told you that he used two different words for lion, which One of them is kind of rare. The normal word for lion is airy, A-Y-R-E, if transliterated. But he used a different word in the same verse for lion, laba, which means when a lion roars. And I just love that. He said, "You are a young lion. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up." He stooped down as he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? And so this title, this messianic title of the lion of the tribe of Judah comes all the way from this prophecy that Jacob said. And then he went on to say something really interesting, which I'm not going to go into today, but he prophesied about the gathering of the people. And he said, "The scepter," that means rulership, "shall not depart from Israel," from Judah, "until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Well, go look up or listen to last week's lesson if you want to go on that. Let's go back to Revelation, though, about the scene in heaven. John has had this vision. He's in heaven. He sees one sitting on the throne holding this scroll. And a strong angel declares, "Who is worthy?" Let's read it. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals." Now, most of the people who interpret this take this as being a title deed, like the title deed to the earth. Because in those days, title deeds were written on the outside as well as the inside. But I don't really believe that that's what this book was. Let's read it again. "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" Verse 3, "And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." And this makes John weep. And I've never heard anyone ask, well, why did John weep? What did he know about the book? What was inside the book? What was the book? Obviously, he knew something about this book, and it made him so sad that he started to cry. This must have been so important. And we said, we went in last week, it was all about why did John weep. So we'll just go over that a little bit. Why did John weep? What was in the book? You know, most of the Bible commentators, they talk about every time a seal is opened, they go into the detail, but nobody has ever said about the book. Well, let's look at this. The book is sealed, but when was it sealed, and what book is it? Well, we do have some references in Scripture, and that's in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Near the end of Daniel's life, when he was coming to the end of his life after he had made these great far-reaching prophecies, one of the last visions he had, an angel was sent to tell him the interpretation, starting from verse 1 of chapter 12. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered." Which people? "Everyone that shall be found written in the book." And I said this was the reason why John wept. Because Revelation is a mirror of Daniel. John knew full well what book that was. And if that book could not be opened, this verse could not be fulfilled. "The people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep..." Now you can tell this is the same book because it's speaking about the time of the end. It's speaking about the resurrection. "And as many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book." I'm going to tell you the end from the beginning. Daniel's sealing. Does anyone know what Daniel sealed the book with? How did he shut the book? What is the book of Daniel mainly consist of? Prophecies. The seals are the prophecies. He did not understand them. He was asking, and he says, it's not for you yet, Daniel. It's time for you now to shut up the words and seal the book. That's why when the book is unsealed, what's happening is the revelation of all these predictions and fulfillment of prophecies that were sealed. But that's not the book, though. That's not even the contents of the book. That's the seal. The contents of the book, or some of the contents of the book, is revealed in verse 1. Thy people shall be delivered. Do you want to be delivered? Amen. Well, yes. Shall I tell you, your name has got to be in the book. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. And I said this was the reason why Daniel wept. Because if no one could open the book, all the people could not be delivered because their names were written in the book. You know which book it was? Remember what he had seen. The angel said, weep not, Daniel. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And then when he actually looks, he doesn't see a lion. What does he see? A lamb. And what is the book that belongs to the lamb called? The Lamb's Book of Life. That's why he took it from the one who was sitting on the throne. Let's go on. You see, the Bible was delivered through men from God, but he allowed men to write it. But there's two books that God reserved to himself. Well, three books, actually, that God decided he wouldn't even let men write them. One of them is the Book of Life. Moses spoke about this in Exodus 32:32. Yet now, when Israel had sinned and he knew what was about to happen, that God was going to erase them from his book, he says, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. He gave a book to Moses, Exodus, Genesis, all those prophets, he gave those books. But the Book of Life is reserved for his personal writing. But Moses knew this. He said, listen, please, if you're not going to forgive them, then blot my name out of the book which thou hast written. He that overcometh, Revelation 3:5, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. In Revelation 3, we're talking about the book of life. In Revelation 4, that's what John sees being held, and he knows what it is. And then he thinks it's going to be opened, and then the angel says there was not found anyone worthy. No one was found worthy. And he realizes what's going to happen if nobody can read the book. Verse 13:8. Let me show you how important the book is. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. This is the clincher that tells you what the book is, because what does it say he sees when the angel says, don't weep? He sees a lamb that had been slain. Revelation 13:8 reinforces what the book is. It's the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, that was all last week. I told you we were going to talk about two words and three things. And I'm going to try and slow down. I know I'm going a little bit too fast because I really want you to get this. We're going to really take apart this scripture. Revelation 4, chapter 5 and verse 4. And I wept much because no man was found worthy, number one, to open the book. Number two, read the book. Number three, to look thereon. Well, opening the book is what he does a little bit later. And that, of course, means the first thing you have to do when you're going to open the book was start to unseal it, revealing the prophecies that Daniel had prophesied and God had told him was going to be sealed mean you're not going to understand this. The second thing, which doesn't happen until near the end of Revelation, is to read the book, which is called the names. And the last thing was to look thereon, which was to see the result of calling the names. We're going to go into all of that. I don't know if we'll get all of that today. So there were three things the angel actually said, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to read the book, neither to look thereon. Sorry, to open the book, to read the book, neither to look thereon. Three things. But I said today we were going to focus on two things, because there are two prerequisites for the lion of the tribe of Judah to be able to do those three things. The first thing is he had to be worthy. The second thing, he had to prevail. He had to be worthy and he had to prevail. That was what was important to being able to do the three things, which was open the book, which is release the seals, read the book, and then look thereon, look at the results of reading the book. So let's look at what that word worthy actually means in the Greek, because if you didn't, you might get the wrong understanding of what it's trying to say. And it comes from a Greek word that's come into the English language, axios. When they say something is axiomatic, well, I'll let you look that up, but it comes from the Greek word axios. And what it's really saying is actually a comparison. When it says something is worthy, it's really saying is of the same value as this other thing. It's really what it's saying. What it's saying is that the lion of the tribe of Judah was of the same value or of the same comparison with the book. That's really what it's saying. Somebody, in this case, the word that's translated worthy, it's saying who is as valuable, who has the same worth, who is befitting, who corresponds. What it's saying is that the title, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, corresponds or is as valuable as the book. Now, what does that mean? What does that tell us? Well, we're going to look in this a little bit more detail. It's as valuable as the book of life. That's really what it's saying. And that gives us a deeper understanding of what's happening here, because what made the Lion of the Tribe of Judah worthy? What made the Lion of the Tribe of Judah worthy? What the word is really saying is that the Lion of the Tribe of Judah corresponds to the book. Well, what is the book? It's the book of life. The book of life. I know this is all deep and profound, but I hope you're going to get something out of this. Let's go back into the New Testament, what Jesus said about himself. In Timothy 1:10, or Paul said, "But now it is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ." What did he do? Abolished death. Remember what it's called? The lambs. Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light. How? Through the gospel, through the good news. John 1:4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Now you begin to see that word that was chosen, meaning that he corresponds to the book. Why? Because in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus himself was life. So when it said worthy, what it was really saying is the reason why he can open the book is because he is the same as the book. He corresponds to the book. Only something that was life could actually open the book. In him was life. That means he was befitting. He was corresponding. That's what the word axios in the Greek means. Then spake Jesus again in John chapter 8, verse 12 unto them, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The very first thing that God created in the beginning was God, right? And God said, the Spirit of God moved upon the water, and God said, let there be light. Now, it wasn't just speaking light that we can see. It was speaking something much more deeper, and I believe spiritual. Maybe we'll get to that next week. But the reason why the Lion of the Tribe of Judah was worthy was because he was of the same kind as the book. That's what I'm saying. That's what, you know, the English word that the King James translated worthy could have been better translated, who is as valuable, who has the same worth, who is befitting, who corresponds. That's what made him worthy. Now, I know what we think made him worthy, what his death on Calvary, and that is part of it. But even before his death or without his death, that Lamb's Book of Life already existed. You understand that? Because it was from the foundation of the world. It actually wasn't his death that made him worthy. It was because in him was life. And that life was the light of men. The book existed before his death. It belonged to him when? From the foundation of the world. You know, we've been taught or think that it was his death that made him worthy. His death makes us worthy. His death didn't make him any better. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. His death did not make him any more worthy. It wasn't his death that made him worthy. What made him worthy was because in him was life. And that life was the light of men. Okay, I think you got that part. So he was worthy because he was of the same value. John 5:25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. When would they hear? When would they hear? Don't answer that. Not long after Jesus was baptized, he returned to Capernaum, his hometown, and he was given another book from the scroll of the book of Isaiah, and he opened it to chapter 61, and he started to read. When did they hear his voice? When he started to read. When are they going to hear his voice? When he starts to read that book. Because it's the book of life. Remember what I says is in that book? It's names. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. It wasn't because he died he was worthy. As I've said, his death makes us worthy. But he was already full of life and light. That's why it's called the Lamb's Book of Light from the foundation of the world. I believe Daniel answered that because it was, if it was not opened, the names could not be read. Remember what he says. He's going to confess our name in heaven before the angels. And in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, everyone whose names was written in the book has to be read. It was written so that it could be read. And it is also read at the last judgment. Remember, the books were opened, and this is going way ahead. Absolutely. It was like it's like you've come to the lawyer's office and they're going to read the will now. You're going to get your goodies. You're going to get your inheritance. You're going to get the confirmation. You're already there, but they're going through the formality now of giving you the confirmation that your name is in the book. Because it says everyone whose name was not in the book, Brother Paul, before Christ's death? Because the book was sealed to transmit and validate a message, the prophecies. And that's what everybody talks about, the seals. They never talk about the book and what's in the book and what was written in the book. But the reason why it was sealed and why prophecy comes, and I'm going to get into that, is to validate that it's from God. So that this book was written by God because it's sealed with prophecies that only he could have done. You know, in the olden times, a king would use a signet ring that belonged to only him, so that when someone got that message and they saw the signet, they could tell, and it was still sealed. This came from the king. The prophecies to Daniel sealed the scroll so that when they start to be fulfilled, we will know this came from the king. That's the value of the seal. And he sealed it because only... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go on. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And we'll have another Bible study. We'll get into that, because that's also very deep. Now, the reason why he could unseal it is because he is the author. John 6:47. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Remember what it said, he was found worthy, which is not really a good translation. It really means he is of the same substance, comparative worth, as the book. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. One of the seven I am statements. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread, speaking of himself, which cometh down from heaven, that if a man eat thereof, he's not going to die. He told his disciples, listen, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they couldn't understand it. Could not understand it. A hard saying. And I said that before, God is going to sometimes say into your life hard sayings that you cannot understand. You've got a choice. Do you give up and say, I don't understand this, it makes no sense? Or do you say, I'm going to trust you, God? This was early on in his ministry. He said, you got to eat my flesh or drink my blood. What are you going to do? It makes no sense. We don't understand it. And 60 of his disciples decided, well, you know, he can do miracles, but this is too much. And they left him. And he didn't explain it either. He turned to the other 12 and said, you guys want to leave too? You guys want to leave too? But Peter said something. He said, Only you really have the words of life. Only you have the book. Only you have the book. Whither shall we go? Where are we going to go? You're the only one who can open this book. I don't understand what you're saying to me, God. I don't understand what's going through my life. I don't understand the path I'm on. But I do know one thing. You've got the book. You have the words of life. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, what I'm trying to show you is that Jesus could open the book because he had life in himself. That's what that word worthy means. He was in comparison. He was of the same worth as the names in the book. In fact, he's the one that gave the names worth, because it's his book and he sealed it. Amen. Only the one who sealed it in this case was worthy to open it. Only the one who sealed it. Now, I really explained ahead of time what the seals were, because Daniel had made all these prophecies of future events, didn't understand it. And so, because he didn't understand it, in a way, the prophecies were sealed. He asked for understanding, and the angel told him, listen, this is not for you, Daniel, it's for the time of the end. So, in other words, seal the book. Seal the book. But it wasn't the prophecies were the book, the prophecies were the seal. You understand? To show that it was God's book. To show that it was God's book. And so in Revelation, what we're seeing is the prophecies unsealed so that the book can be read. Your name can be called. You can inherit what the Father has promised. Here is it. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. God gave him an overview of the future events of the whole timeline here. 70 weeks or 70 sets of seven are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. There's six things listed here that God is going to have to do before everything is finished. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins. See, God is giving Daniel an overview, but the understanding of all of this in detail is not given. Here's six of the seals. To make a reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. And what does it finally say? And to seal up the vision and the prophecy. And then to anoint the most holy. In chapter 12, after seeing all these marvelous weird visions with animals and all this thing, Daniel had no clue. He didn't really understand it. And I heard, but I understood not, because it's sealed even to him. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Verse 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed and sealed till the time of the end. There's another reason why people would seal documents when they send it. Why would they seal documents? Why do you lick them? Especially if it's got something valuable, you go and you register it and you make sure, and you take some scotch tape and you put over it. Why? Why do you do that? Because you don't want someone else to read it, to understand or appreciate what it's actually saying. I wonder who that someone else could be that God did not want to know his plan. Do you understand? I told you this before. There are still some mysteries that we have no idea. God has got some surprises that we just don't even begin to understand. You know how I know? Because once one of the seals is unsealed, the Bible says there were seven thunders. Seven utterances were spoken. But it still wasn't time. God said, don't write that yet. Seal it up. That one can't be unsealed yet. Do you understand? We think we know a lot, but we really don't have a grasp what God has got prepared for us. The reason why it's sealed too is he doesn't want a certain someone else to know what's going on. That's why you seal up stuff, but you only want the person on the other end who it's supposed to be for to get the message. See, Satan only thinks he has a clue, but he has no clue. He has no clue. He's going to be just as surprised as all of us. But for him, it won't be a good surprise. God's still got some plans that it's yet to be revealed. That excites me. That brings a smile to my face. Because that's why you seal things. If you don't care if everybody reads it, you don't seal it. You just fold it. But if you want only the person who it's directed to, you seal it up. And that's the other reason. So God told Daniel, listen, seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. And Daniel did not understand. In verse 9, God just tells him, go thy way, Daniel. Don't worry about it. For the words are closed up and sealed when? Till Jesus. Till the one who is life in himself. To the one who is the life giver. To the one who is the bread of life. To the one who is the only one to whom the book truly belongs, can open it. Don't weep anymore, John. Yes, we know he knew what was in it, that it was, it said every one of your people whose names were going to be delivered. I bet John was thinking of all the countless dead who had died and was thinking, somebody's got to be able to do this. Somebody's got to be able to read this book. Next week we'll go into more details, but the seals, the seven seals are open, and really they're all related to prophecy and prophetic events that cover what Daniel spoke about, but cover it in a different way, showing that they are related to what Daniel sealed. The first seal reveals a white horse in Revelation 6:2. And he had a bow and was given a crown and went out to conquer. The second horse, now remember what I said, there were three things. Open the seal, read the book, and then to look thereon. Every time a seal is opened, one of the creatures comes to John and says, what? What does he tell him? Come and see. What he's showing him is the beginning of revelation of some of the prophecies that were sealed by Daniel, that were given to Daniel but sealed. The third seal reveals a black horse and balance scales. He's holding some balance scales. Forget what it says underneath. We'll go into that next week. I just took this picture because it modeled what I was wanting to say. The interpretation don't necessarily go. The fourth horse is a pale horse. It says pale horse, or actually it's pale green horse. In the Greek it's chloros. And it says death has Hades with him. And one fourth of the earth killed with sword, famine, death and beasts. Then the fifth seal, the martyrs, the souls of those under the altar, cry out, how long? And they are told that they got to wait until their fellow brethren be killed in like manner. You know, 20 years or even 30 years ago, this was so weird because they were killed by beheading. And I can remember when in France, which was the last country, well, apart from Saudi Arabia, last European country that stopped, that their form of capital punishment was still the guillotine. Even in the 50s and 60s, they still chopped people's. I can remember growing up when France stopped that. And I was thinking, you know, who's going to be going around beheading people? How is that going to be fulfilled? And lo and behold, in our lifetime, in the last 5 or 6 years, here we have, in the same area of the world, a group of people who literally fulfilling the prophecy, killing Christians by beheading them. And that's not the end of it. And they cry out, how long? And that word martyr, of course, is witness. When it says witness in the Greek, it's martyr. How long, O Lord, holy and true, before thou wilt avenge our blood upon the earth? And they're told to wait until they're joined by their fellow serpents. Then the sixth seal is open, and there's earthquakes, and the sun darkens, and the moon turns red, and the stars fall from the sky like a scroll. I'm just going over these. Next week we may get into that. Then the seventh seal in Revelation 8, heaven is silent, I believe for the first time ever, for the space of about half an hour. Half an hour. So the Lamb takes the scroll and he begins to open the seals. No one else. Showing that it's his book because it's the prophecies. The Bible says that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Now, all that was on the word worthy. Now, I want to go to the part about prevailed. Prevailed. Because there were two criteria for the lion was that he was found worthy and that he has what? Prevailed. Colossians 2:15. When Jesus died, it says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So if you were to look up the Greek word spoil, it means to really strip someone almost naked, take everything they got, leave them destitute. That's what Jesus did. That's what he did. He left the devil destitute of anything that he had taken. Having taken their treasure, that's what the Romans would do. They would take when they pillaged a country, they would take all of the treasure, and they would say they had spoiled the enemy. And if you look up that word, it means to almost strip naked. That's what it means. That means when Jesus died, he stripped the devil naked of everything. In fact, When he read the book on earth in Isaiah 61, he said that's what he came to do. He said he was going to do what? Set the captives free. He came to do what? To speak liberty to them that are bound and to release the prisoners. That's what he came to do. That's when it says the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. This is a little of what Jesus did. Paul is explaining, listen, if the Lion of the tribe of Judah had not prevailed, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. If there is no such thing as the resurrection of the dead, which is what the Sadducees believe, then Christ didn't rise from the dead. And if Christ be not raised, us coming to church, all our beliefs are in vain. We might as well be some other religion that has dead prophets. Confucius, Buddha, Muhammad. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then you can might as well go worship a rock or a stone or something. If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. But you know what? Christ did rise from the grave. And as I said, the reason why the angels rolled away the stone was not to let him out, but was to let them in. He was gone. He didn't need anyone to roll away the stone for him. It was just so that everyone else could see he was gone. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If the lion had not prevailed, I put something on Facebook this week. I said, Jesus' death proves that he's human. Jesus' resurrection proves that he is God. That word prevailed means triumph. The root of David has triumph. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. That's the key. Worthy and then prevailed. Let's go on. What was he doing? 1 Corinthians 15:21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die. But even so in Christ. You know why? He's got the book. It's the most important book. I know we say the Bible is the most important book, but there is a book that is more important than that. And it's the one that he wouldn't let anybody write, even the prophets. He wrote it himself. For as Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You know, many people really misunderstand most of Jesus' ministry. And a lot of times we quote Jesus out of context because we forget what he himself said he came to do. Why would not he heal that woman's daughter who had a devil? He refused to heal her at first, even though he was begging. He ignored her. He talked about her in the third person, even though she was standing there. He said, I'm not here to give food to the dogs. He goes on to say the reason why he wasn't going to do it. Anyone remember? Because he was sent only to the household of Israel. All of Jesus' ministry, although there's a lot of good sayings in there, you have to be careful applying those words to the church. Because remember what he said he came to do. Fulfill the law. And a lot of times we take a lot of Jesus' statements and apply them to the church. When actually he came himself, said, only to the household of Israel. When he first sent his disciples out, he gave them strict instructions. Don't go into the way of the Samaritans. Don't go to any Gentiles. Only go to all of the villages of Israel. It was only after his resurrection and their rejection, then he said, go ye into all the world. So you understand that a lot of what Jesus said was directed as a fulfillment of the law. Let me give you one. Love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your body. Right? That's what Jesus said. And there's people that will say that's what we got to do. And it is kind of what we got to do, but it's not something we can do. Anyone here can love God 100% mind, soul, body, spirit? Jesus said that that was the sum of the law. And that's why we can't do it, because nobody could keep the law. If you could have done that, if you can love God 100% body, mind, soul, and spirit, then you know what? Jesus wasted his time. He needn't have come. But yet you'll hear that preach. You got to love the Lord with all your soul, mind, body, and spirit. But that's not possible, because Jesus said, on this the law rests, the whole pillar of the law. But you know what? I know I can't do that. I try. But I can't be 100%. I am going to fail. In Genesis 8, that's why he said, man's thoughts are evil continually from his youth. That's why he had to come. That's why only he was found worthy. That's why only he could open the book. And the reason why he died, though, was to make us worthy. You know why? Because if we eat him, right, the bread of life, then we too have life in ourselves. And that makes us worthy, amen, for our name to be written in the book. Are you understanding this? For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. He read the book on earth about what he was going to do. The book in heaven is the fulfillment when he starts to read that. It's not about what he's going to do, it's what he has done, and he'll be calling some names. He'll be calling. He says, listen, I am going to confess your name before the angels in heaven. Your name is going to be called out, not in some earthly court before a president or a king, but before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The angels are going to know your name. Think about that. Only because he was found worthy that he prevailed and was able to open the book. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. So the more you try and keep the law, all you're doing is strengthening sin. Have I read that right? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. So the more out of your own self you try and be a goody-goody, you're actually strengthening sin. You're making yourself set up for failure, because you are going to fall. You are going to fail. In fact, Paul said he called it this ministry of death. He did. But I like verse 57. But thanks be to God. The lion hath prevailed. Giveth us the victory. How? Not through giving out diapers yesterday, not through giving out free stuff, no. That's not going to do it. But the lion hath prevailed. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. He gives it to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's that old song that says, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. It's not true. Joshua didn't fight any battle. The person who fought the battle was the person he met in Joshua 5, who was the commander of the Lord's host. That's who fought the battle of Jericho. All Joshua did was march up when the walls fell down. God opened the door and he went in. We can't fight that battle. He does. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about that second part now. I talked about what made worthy. Now I'm talking about what makes the lion prevail. Isaiah 25:8 prophesied, he will swallow up death in victory. Last night I was playing some videos of, some family times, and we happened to play the video of my father's funeral, and I was just, thinking back if there was more I could have done, if there was, I was just thinking, was I a good son as I should have been? And I was just thinking of the times maybe I let him down. But God will not let him down. Here's what it says. He will swallow up death in victory. And doesn't stop there. The Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. What used to be one of my favorite verses was Revelation 21, verse 4. You know what it says? God shall wipe away all tears, and there shall be no more crying, nor sadness, nor sickness. Isaiah 25, 8 says that, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the rebuke of his people, that means the curse off of his people, shall be taken away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. This is about the lion prevailing. 1 Corinthians 15, 54. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying. See, he's quoting here, Paul is quoting from Isaiah, death is swallowed up in victory. See, the lion hath prevailed. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. When I get sad thinking about my father's passing, you know what I get happy about? Thinking about seeing him again. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Remember what was the sting of death? Sin. And the strength of sin? See, it was that broken law that was in that Ark of the Covenant that the blood was sprinkled over. Cover that up. Cover up the broken law. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That's why the Bible says that we sorrow not as them that have what? No hope. Yes, I sorrowed, and in my flesh I sorrow, but I have a hope. I have a hope. If I endure, if you endure to the end, you'll see your loved ones again. Death is swallowed up in victory. That's how the lion prevailed. That's how the lion won. Amen. He was already worthy. He didn't die to be able to take the book. He died so that we can take the book. That our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. That's what he died for, and that's why he prevailed. If you could stand with me, I'm going to finish a little bit early because we will continue this next week. And we want to start a little bit early because we will be giving out some things from yesterday. I hope you have been edified. I hope you have been encouraged that the book was opened. And there's going to be a day when you hear your name read. The Bible says everyone that hears will be resurrected, that will be changed. The Bible says the trump of God will sound, and then the Bible says that he will descend and he will shout. Bible doesn't tell us in that verse what he will shout, but I think it'll be your name. I think it'll be your name. When he resurrected Lazarus, what did he do? He shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I believe that when that shout comes, it's going to be your name because he'll have opened the book and he'll be shouting your name and you will hear your name. That's what it says. Everyone that hears. That's what it says. Everyone that is written in the book and whose name is written in the Lamb's book of life. So he was worthy and he prevailed. And because of that, we get to hear our name. If we confess him down here, he's going to call our name up there. He said, before my Father and before the angels, Gabriel will know your name. Michael will know your name. Amen. Your name is going to be confessed. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful? The lion of the tribe of Judah. If you've been weeping, if you've had a hard week, if you've been crying, the elder says, don't weep. It's only temporary. If you've got a hard year to go through, if there's some things you have to deal with and you don't understand it, don't like it, I'm telling you, don't weep. Because the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. He is worthy. He's taken the book. And he is going to open the seals. And he's going to call somebody's name. Hallelujah. Amen. See, Satan doesn't even know what's in the book. He's guessing. But he would like to make sure your name is not in the book. But we can make our calling and election sure. That's what the Bible says. He told the disciples, yes, I've given you gifts, I've given you authority. You're able to go out there and cast out demons. You're able to lay hands on the sick. And they came rejoicing and praising. But he said, rather rejoice that your name, you know, he said this word. He used the same word, that you're counted worthy. You know what that means? That you have life in yourself. That you're counted worthy, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. You know, this Bible is not a book of fables and myths. But when God starts to open your understanding to it, it's beautiful. It shows you so much. It lets you understand that God has got this plan starting from the garden. Psalms, I think 139 says, my members were fashioned in thy book. Before I even had consciousness, my members were fashioned in that book. Before I even had, that's what David wrote in Psalm 139, in that book. I said there's three books that God writes himself, and we'll get into this is the book of life. There's two other books that God writes himself. He did not allow mankind to write them. But I'm so glad that my name, your name, is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, hallelujah, that you died to make us worthy, that you have given us life in ourselves, that we can be worthy, hallelujah, to read that book, to hear our name. Hallelujah. We thank you today. We ask you right now, Lord God, to stir our hearts. Help us to seek you with our whole being. Oh God, that we will be there, Lord God, that we will hear our name. Lord, we ask you right now to cover us with your spirit. Let your word go forth. Lord, bless our second service. Move in this place. Lift up our heads. Lord, let our souls not be cast down, but to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. We thank you and we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering right now. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Hallelujah.